Welcome to 24/7 World Radio Podcast with Brother Eric John Phelps today on this March the 5th, which is a Thursday at about 5:20 p.m. Welcoming you to the podcast, and I have with me today Brother George Widger that I'm going to attempt to have on every Tuesday at 11 a.m. in the morning. So this is the second stream we've done this year, so we need to increase that with all the information that George has. That's so unbelievable that I'm sure he's going to have a good podcast tonight with me. So, Brother George, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. As always, it's a pleasure to be on with you, Eric. Brother Eric.
Pleasure to have you. Okay, so what do you have for us this evening, Brother George?
Well, my scripture verse is John 11, verse 35. John 11, verse 35. And fortunately, it's not very long. As a matter of fact, it's the shortest verse in the whole Bible. Jesus wept. Now, I know that may sound fairly straightforward, and it is. However, I just like to say that, generally speaking, over the centuries, Christian detractors, and usually the Jesuits or people posing as liberal or progressive Protestants, will usually attack Jesus' divinity, i.e., his divine, the assertion that Jesus.
George, it's a better word to say deity.
Okay, DT.
So divinity means man becomes God, or man is becomes divine. So we're more correct if we use the word deity. So he was born very God, manifest in the flesh.
Okay, I beg your pardon. Oh, well, thank you for the correction. Okay, so then people will, and then there's the correlated concept of attacking his exclusive deity. And then people have said over the centuries, well, yes, Jesus was deity. He was divine. He was God. However, there are others who were as well, such as the various alleged gods of Hinduism, like Shiva and Vishnu, or Siddhartha Gautama, aka the Buddha, the teacher. Well,
If you would, George, just kind of slow it down a little bit and be close to your microphone so that we can hear the proper enunciation, because I'm having a problem. So,
Okay,
okay.
so people will say that there have been other figures in Eastern religions, such as in Hinduism or Buddhism, that were also divine. So that wasn't I guess, the exclusive bailiwick of Jesus. Others have asserted for hundreds of years. However, I'm not even going to address that. One of the other attacks people will make, and this actually goes back, well, basically to the time of Christ, about 2,000 years ago, is people will assail his humanity, saying, well, yes, Jesus was deity, but he was not human. That was the positions of groups like the Gnostics.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's utter blasphemy because he had to be a man. He had to be the second Adam because if he was not very man or the second Adam, then he could never be redeemer. So that's a direct attack on his act of redemption, that he was not a man, that he did not experience the things that we experience as men. And so he cannot be a sympathetic high priest intercessor, if that's the case. So, to be a high priest, you have to be very God, very man.
Well, amen. Now, today is March the 5th, and as you said, this is the only, or I think you said off air, this is the only the second stream we've done this year. Well, it was on this date in 1953, 72 years ago, Yosef Zhukovsky, aka Joseph Stalin, died. And I believe we've talked about this before because I know we've done at least one other stream on this date. And do you know who else died on this date in the same year?
No, I don't.
Sergei Prokofiev, the composer of Peter and the Wolf.
Oh, really? My mother
Yes.
used to get that album from the public library and bring it home and play it for us when we were children. I still remember it. Then there was the music when the wolf appeared, and but it was very much fun to listen to and very educational.
Okay, so it is. So I guess the Jesuits decided to pull the plug on both of them on those dates, 72 years ago, through their proxies, the KGB.
It wouldn't surprise me. You know, the Jesuits founded and ran the KGB. The first head of the CzechO was a Polish Roman Catholic, Felix Dzerzhinsky, who admired the Jesuit order, and he was Polish. So it just continued on. I mean, they put some upfront Jews there in the KGB and NKVD, but in the final analysis, it was run by the Jesuits there in Moscow, as they were readmitted into Russia in 1922 after they'd been expelled for over 100 years. So no question that they ran the secret services, the horrible, terrible Inquisition that was overseen by Joseph Stalin, their
Yep,
leader.
yes. Who, by the way, was not Russian. He was Georgian.
It was
And
Georgian, right? And he was
I
not
don't
a,
mean.
and he was not a Jew either, nor was Lavrentiy Beria. Neither one of them were Jews. But go ahead.
Oh, okay. So when I say Georgian, I'm talking about the country over in Russia, not the U.S. states.
Right.
And as far as I know, there's no Atlanta over where Joseph Stalin was from, but so
That's
anyhow,
right, George, no Atlanta.
and as I was saying, oh, by the way, did you know that Germany has a new chancellor?
No, I don't.
I didn't know that until yesterday. I'm sorry, I should be up on these sort of things, but sometimes he's been there, I guess, for a few months. And his name is Friedrich Merz. That's a good German name. And it turns out he's 70 years old. He was born on the 11th of November, 1955. So he was born on Armistice Day, for
Okay,
what it's
yeah,
worth.
Armistice Day was 11/11/11.
Yes.
Of November 11th, on the 11th day at the 11th hour.
Yes.
That's why they did that.
So he got his undergrad degree from Universität Bonn, the University of Bonn, where he was a member of, I looked it up, but he's basically in their version of Skull and Bones.
You see.
And so is basically is a Catholic Masonic fraternal order.
I see. Well, you know, after World War II, when the Jesuits used the Allies to decimate Germany, and it was the Abrahamic curse put on Germany for their treatment of the Jews, no doubt. The Jesuits then had the total run of the country and remade it in their own image. So they had that guy that was what's this he was the head of the Chase Manhattan Bank for a while. What was his name? He was on the Warren Commission also.
Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't know this. McCoy?
Not Jay McCloy. He was the High Commissioner for Germany after the war and dear friend of Konrad Adenauer. They're both Knights of Malta, and they both, their wives were sisters. So they completely reworked Germany after what the Jesuits wanted, and nobody could be there that would be truly a German patriot. So Germany has been completely in the hands of the Jesuit order after World War II and is at this moment with their recent chancellor.
So anyhow, he, I guess, was in Chancellor Merz was, I guess, in Washington, D.C. this week, having a meeting with President Trump and his cabinet to discuss the situation in Iran. And I guess last was it Saturday the 28th, United States and Israel, for the most part, began the bombing campaign of Iran.
Yeah.
And that actually came as a bit of a surprise to me, not to others, that usually when they do something like this, there has to be some sort of pretext, like a Gulf of Tonkin or 9/11 or something like that. But nope, they decided not to do that.
I see. They decided not to do that. So what did they decide, George?
Well, they've bombed various places in Iran because there's some sort of nonsense. Oh, they're just about to develop a nuclear weapon.
Well, we know that there are atomic detonations, no doubt, and that they have many nukes and nukes that are movable. But there's no such thing as airborne nuclear war. So the whole triad illusion or delusion of having nukes on boomers and submarines and nukes, Curtis LeMay's nukes going to take off in Minot, North Dakota, and bomb Russia with the nuclear bombs. And then also the nuclear missiles stationed in what, Dakota, in the silos. So they have their silos, their subs, and their bombers as their three-way nuclear attack. And the irony is, there's no such thing as dropping nuclear bombs and having them detonate. There's no such thing as launching a nuclear missile and having it burst over an area. They call it MIRVs. And that there's no such thing as shooting the missiles out of their silos to Russia and having them detonate. That's all a lie. And there's even a novel written about that called The Jesus Factor. I recommend the listeners read that. It's a novel. Many a truth is told in a storybook form, and that's what this is. And so we don't need to be concerned about. All we need to be concerned about is atomic detonations in certain areas when the sun is in the right harmonic relationship to the device. And then they can detonate, but there's no such thing as airborne nuclear war or airborne nuclear destruction. That's all Roman Catholic, Jesuit, poppycock, and lies.
Well, you're talking about many a truth being told in fiction or in comedy. Well, something I mentioned before, but was it Tom Clancy wrote a number of novels which introduced the character Jack Ryan, and they've made a number of films about them, like Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, The Sum of All Fears, and I believe it was The Sum of All Fears. We find out that Jack Ryan got his undergrad degree from Boston College. And one of his mentors was a father, Timothy O'Brien or Ryan or something, typical Irish name. And Father Tim was talking to Jack one day. He said, "Hey, what are your plans after you graduate?" He said, "Oh, I'm going to go to the Marines and fight over Vietnam," because originally Jack Ryan was born in 1950s. Now they retconned it. They retroactively changed the storyline, so he's younger now. But and I said, "Well, have you ever considered joining the company?" And I said, "Not really, Father." And when I say company, I mean the CIA. And I said, "Well, when you do your stint, come back and talk to me, and the job will be open because I have plenty of contacts over at Langley."
I'm sure, because the Jesuits run Langley. Yeah, everybody that's there at the top is beholden to them.
So, as I said, this was a novel, something that was fictional.
Well, of course, Tom Clancy was trained by Jesuits at Boston College. So he was an absolute dyed-in-the-wool Jesuit coadjutor. Good Irish Catholic that he was. Thought he was on the winning team. He doesn't think that now because he's burning in hell, waiting for the great white throne judgment. And he realizes, well, maybe the Jesuits really weren't right. Maybe they told me a bunch of lies.
Okay, so I talked to you about the bombing that's been going on in Iran since last Saturday, the 28th. And I guess the story goes the following day at about 2 o'clock in the morning, Central Time, there's a bar in Austin, Texas, in which I guess a Senegalese national opened fired and killed.
So here's the black man, right? He's black. He's from Senegal. And somehow he got a gun. With all these gun laws, how did he get a gun, George? Maybe the
I
left
know.
socialist, communist Democrats can inform us how he got a gun. Because he wasn't a citizen. So, yeah, please tell me how that happened. We need more gun laws, don't we? So, anyway, the savage opens up and Who does he shoot?
Well, he killed three people. Ryder Harrington.
And I would venture to say they're all white. Were they all white?
Well, okay, there's Ryder Harrington, Savitha Shan, and Jorge Patterson. So one of them was probably, or at least one of them was white.
Jorge
So,
sounds like he's Spanish.
see, okay, and
Well, one thing's for sure, he didn't shoot three black people. That's for sure. I mean, they're on their rampage of killing as many white people as they can, which is, the Jesuit design for North America and all the other historic white Protestant nations. They weaponize the blacks against us, even if they have to bring in foreign savage blacks from Senegal. But go ahead.
okay, so the alleged gunman was named Niaga Diagne. Don't know, and I'm not sure if
I
I'm
can
pronouncing.
hardly understand you, George. You're mumbling, it's deep. Please try to speak more clearly, okay? Please.
Oh no! I was very no, I wasn't mumbling. As if I just have a hard time pronouncing his name, Niaga Diagne.
Okay.
It's
So anyway, he was probably, was he white or Spanish or what?
he was black.
Oh, he was black. Oh, that's the guy that did the shooting. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He's got some weirdo name what is it? Senegal. So you said Senegal?
Yes.
Yeah. Remember, Senegal is on the west coast of Africa. And Senegal has a treaty, has an agreement with Red China, that the Red Chinese will use their commercial fleet to bring these Muslim soldiers over here when we have our Sino-Soviet Muslim invasion. It's those two nations are what, Senegal and Mauritania. And they have agreements with Red China with their huge shipping fleet. So they're using them against us and killing us. And of course, it's going to continue until the Lord's people wake up and want to stop it. But go ahead, George.
Okay, so I checked my connection and it does appear to be clear. So,
It sounds a little better, though. It does sound a little better, George. So go ahead.
okay, so sorry you're having a hard time hearing me. Okay, so he was this Dagny, or however you pronounce his name, he was killed by the local police, the Austin police. And
Good. I'll drink to that. Go ahead, George. Last
He
glass,
is
2 ounce glass of wine tonight. I'll drink to that. Go ahead.
okay. So he is 53 years old, which is relatively old for somebody to be doing something like this. Because generally speaking, when they use somebody for these operations, they're under 30, vis-a-vis Lee Harvey Oswald, Charles Joseph Whitman, the son of David Berkowitz. They're usually in their 20s. So this Dagny, or however you pronounce his name, he didn't fit that profile.
Did anybody tell you how he got his gun? Where he bought his gun? How that happened?
I
Because
looked at Burke.
he was not a citizen, right?
Yes.
He was not a U.S. citizen. That's something you have to fill out on the form. So how does someone who is not a citizen, U.S. citizen, quote unquote, go able to buy a gun? Did he buy it from somebody in the mafia? Did he buy it somebody from the Nation of Islam? I mean, where did he get his gun? That's a legitimate question. And you would think that the press would ask that question and report to the people they're speaking to that this is how this murderer got his gun. But they haven't done it. And of course not. And they never will. Go ahead, George.
Well, probably within a month, almost everybody is going to forget about this story, unless you happen to live in Austin. Now, I bring this up for a couple of reasons. One, you have to look at who runs the Austin Police Department. Well, it turns out the chief of police in Austin, her name is Lisa Davis.
I'm
And she's
assuming, is she white?
white, yes, and a
So we have a
lesbian.
white feminist that's the chief of police in Austin. Well, they're
Yes.
living up to their mantra there in Austin by keeping Austin weird. That's their little saying, keep Austin weird. Because that's where all leftist socialist communists out of California, New York, and these other places are going to take over the capital there and make Texas another leftist communist state, in addition to all the alien invaders coming in there. So go ahead, George.
Okay, so Lisa got her undergrad degree from Xavier University in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Xavier, who is Francis Xavier, George?
He was one of the co-founders of the Jesuits.
Yes, he was one of the co-founders of the Jesuits.
Okay, so Lisa is actually from the Buckeye State, Ohio, and she's a retired police officer from that department. So that raises the question. Wasn't there anybody else qualified to run the Austin PD in Austin, or at least from somewhere else in Texas?
No, because we're destroying Texas. It's a conscious, obvious plot to destroy Texas that is white, historically Protestant and Baptist. And so we're going to take over the major cities and we're going to ruin them. And the people in the surrounding areas are just going to have to go down with whatever the cities want to do. So it's a plot, it's a conspiracy, it's a design, as the white Protestants who wrote the Constitution said, it's a design evinced against us to reduce us. So it's the same design of the Jesuit order, just using different people.
Okay, so Austin is not a one-off. Meaning, if you look at who runs your local police departments throughout, and I'm just talking about the US, and I'm just talking about local PDs, not the FBI or state police. So you see the same situation in Dallas, Texas. The chief of police there is Daniel Cormeau. It's like a French. He's from New Orleans, Louisiana, and he's of French descent, and he's black.
Okay, so we have a black man from New Orleans who is the police chief of what
Dallas.
city? Dallas. Okay. Remember, Dallas has cut back its budget for the police there to make it an even more criminal city with savage blacks and Hispanics committing crime every day, terrible crime. And so they cut back to pay the cops. I saw this black cop saying, if this is going to happen, Dallas is going to the dogs, and he was really upset about it. So it's just more of it, more of the same. And so we have two Catholics. We have a Catholic running Austin and a Catholic running, we have a white Catholic feminist running Austin and a black leftist running Dallas. Any more
Okay.
good news for Texas?
Oh, well, actually, it only gets worse. And I just need to give you a little bit more on the bio of Chief Camo. He got his undergrad degree from Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Well, the Notre Dame we know is in Indiana, but the Jesuits most assuredly run it because one of their past presidents was Theodore Hesburgh, Ted, and Ted and Ned. They were two dear friends as priests. And you have notable American politicians that have graduated from there. So it's a big Jesuit op. Even though it's not a Jesuit university, they still control it.
Oh, okay. So I wonder if Ted and Ned ever went on a double date with
Well, of course they
Edgar,
did. Sure.
on a double date
Of course.
with Edgar and Clyde.
FBI J. Edgar and Clyde Holston, I'm sure they did. They probably double dated. Why, sure. Both, all of them flaming sodomites.
Okay. So anyhow, but getting back to Dallas, so Austin is the capital of the Lone Star State, Texas. Dallas, I believe, is the second or third largest city of Texas. And I looked into San Antonio, and the chief of police there is William McManus. What does that sound like to
Oh, no, the
you?
San Antonio. So that sounds like an Irish Catholic to me.
Yes. And
So
so
this is our third police chief, Dallas, Austin, and now San Antonio. Great.
okay, so I looked into Houston, but I couldn't find anything concrete there, so I won't report on that yet. But getting back to William McManus, he got his undergrad degree from Villanova in
Villanova, a
Philadelphia.
huge Catholic University in Pennsylvania. Not far, it's in Philadelphia. It's not far from St. Joseph's University, which is the Jesuit University here in Philadelphia, overseeing the Archbishop here, who's a cardinal of Philadelphia, who runs the state.
Well, the current white pope, Leo the 14th, got his undergrad degree from Villanova.
Okay.
At the time, he was known as Robert Prevost.
Robert Prevost. Okay. Yep. Sounds like
So.
a conspiracy to me, George. Sounds like they're taking over political power to implement the Pope's temporal power here.
Yes. And so, I mean, I probably could spend the rest of our stream just talking about police departments right now in 2026. Okay, so let's talk about St. Louis, Missouri. The chief of police there is Michael Tracy. I'm sorry, Michael Tracy? Yes, Robert Tracy. I had to look him up. And he got his undergrad degree from Marist University in Poughkeepsie, New York. And Chief Tracy is from the Bronx, so he's not a native Missourian. So this is yet another example of the Jesuits bringing in an outsider to run the police department. So as I said, Lisa Davis is from Cincinnati, Ohio, where she got her degree from Xavier, and she runs the Austin Police Department.
Yeah, see, there ought to be local laws there, the state. That our police chiefs have to be local. They have to spring from us, and they have to live here locally. They can't be an outsider and come here and run this city. That's local self-government, and they have every right to do that. It's like Germany passed a law, the Kulturkampf, in the 1880s and thereabouts, 1870s, where they passed a law that there could be no foreign bishops established in Germany. If there were any bishops, they had to be German, they had to be inside the country. Well, the Pope was enraged about that. And I think that was part of the Falk Laws that Bismarck put forward. But yeah, so if you're going to have people that are going to be governing your area, they have to be from the people. That's why here in America, the president has to be a natural born American. You just can't have some foreigner come in here or a foreign born individual. It's always the recipe for tyranny, like Joseph Stalin, the Georgian who had tyranny over Russia, like Adolf Hitler, who had the Austrian who had tyranny over Germany. If you want to have a tyrant, just bring in a foreigner. They'll do it every time.
Okay, so these may not be tyrants. Now, I'll just throw out a couple more, not to belabor the point. The current chief of police in San Francisco, which is in my neck of the woods, is Derek Lowe. Now, his post-secondary school education is purely secular. I think he went to University of California, Berkeley. So, however, he went to St. Ignatius High School in San Francisco, which
St. Ignatius High School in San Francisco. I wonder who that was named after, George. Maybe Ignatius Loyola, maybe?
or it could have been, it was probably a Jew.
Yeah, let's blame the Jews. Yeah, let's blame the Jews like that idiot. Oh, what's his name?
Nick Fuentes.
Nick Fuentes. Yeah, let's blame the Jews. All the while
Okay.
ignoring the papacy and the power of the Jesuit order that he's well aware of, but go ahead.
Okay, so as I said, I'm not joking. I probably can go on all day or all evening doing this.
Yeah.
Daniel McDaniel, or I'm sorry, James McDonald is the chief of police in Los Angeles. And he went to St. Anselm College in New Hampshire.
So here's another foreigner coming in to be chief police to what, Los Angeles? Is he chief there now?
Yes.
Yeah. Bad news. Terrible. And one of these things these foreigners don't want to do, they don't want to punish crime. They don't want to punish crime. So crime is just rampant. It's not out of control, it's just rampant. Especially the black crime. Especially the black on white crime, it's just rampant in all these major cities, and they're never disciplined and they're never punished, and they come back to do it again and again and again, which is the Jesuit design, one of the designs against the country. And I call them the majority savage blacks, as opposed to the minority civil blacks, who are generally Christian people who read the Bible and don't hate white people. Well, go ahead, George.
Okay, so we're just talking about what appears to be the destruction of Texas because
Yes.
through law enforcement, because it seems as if that in most of your major urban centers, they're run by people who are Catholic educated or slash Jesuitically educated.
They're Jews, or they're Jews educated by Jesuits. Like, we have this Jew running Pennsylvania, who's the governor of Pennsylvania now, Shapiro. He's totally controlled by the Jesuits out of Archbishop out of Philadelphia, even though his residence is Harrisburg. But he's a leftist, socialist, communist Jew playing the part that all political Jews play. And that is, they always have to be leftist, they always have to be pro-communist, they have to be anti-white, they have to be pro-black, they have to be anti-gun ownership. That's the shibboleth of these Masonic Jews working for the Pope. And it's very few that ever get in a position of power that are not like that. One of them was Barry Goldwater. But go ahead, George.
Oh, well, could you elaborate on him?
Barry Goldwater was, he most assuredly wanted to punish crime, and he also wanted to nuke North Vietnam. Not that nuclear war is possible, but he wanted to win the Vietnam War and get out, as the John Birch Society was right about. Just win the war and leave. Don't let it drag on for 30 years, because it was a 30 years war from 1945 to 1975.
Well, I know we've talked about Barry Goldwater before, the Senator from Arizona. So after the Jesuits decided to pull the plug on Tail Gunner Joe McCarthy, they decided to elevate Goldwater to basically be the political face of the new conservative movement of America that was, I guess, emerging starting in the late 1950s, but it really became prominent in the 1960s. And
You know, the Jesuits used McCarthy to hijack the legitimate anti-communist movement, acting like a crazy man. And Chris Pinto does a very good job proving this in his DVD release called American Jesuits. He rightly portrays McCarthy as a tool of the order to hijack the truly genuine anti-communist movement. Go ahead, George.
okay, so just want to share a couple of observations about Goldwater. So I'm just going from memory here. I'm not looking right now. So he was German Jewish on his father's side. Well, that's really easy to figure out. But he was Episcopalian on his mom's side. So he was raised in the Episcopal Church, and he was a practicing Episcopalian. He got
That's
married.
terrible, because they're just American Roman Catholics. They have confession and priests and the whole nine yards, and they're also backing the papacy. They don't ever denounce the political power of the Pope, his temporal power. So Episcopalians are just American Roman Catholics, like Anglicans or British Roman Catholics, feigning to be Protestants.
Okay, so Goldwater was actually a Scottish Rite Freemason,
Oh, was he
not
Scottish Rite?
so you would have assumed that he would have been B'nai B'rith, but I guess he got a waiver or something like that, and he was Army intelligence. So he was just simply playing the part of a conservative.
Right, playing the part of a, I mean, he was evil and playing a part for the Jesuits, but he wasn't playing the typical left-wing socialist communist Jew part.
And of course, I guess he ran, was it in 64? He ran against Lyndon Johnson for president. And William Miller was Goldwater's running mate. And okay, this happened before his life, but do you remember just before the election in 64, you saw this commercial with a cute little blonde girl? She's like 5 or 6. And they call her the Daisy Girl.
I vaguely remember that. In 1965, I was 12, so.
Okay, so 64. So she's 1, 2, 3. Then you hear Goldwater's voice being superimposed over the girl. What was it? Or in reverse. 4, 5, 6. Goes up to 10. Then you see this nuclear explosion. And so then you hear Lyndon Johnson's voice and says, "The stakes are too high. This will happen if Lyndon." if Barry Goldwater is elected. So you need to vote. So
And
you
Lyndon
need to.
Johnson, he was so evil, such a polecat, such a liar. Responsible for the death of 58,000 American white men, most of the guys killed in Nam were white, and responsible for the demoralization of the military, and responsible for the Kennedy assassination. Of course, he's working for Francis Cardinal Spellman. Johnson is not in political office without Francis Cardinal Spellman, so.
Okay, well, something most people don't know about Lyndon Johnson and Goldwater is they're old golfing buddies.
Oh, really? Old golfing buddies.
Yes, as a matter of fact, so Goldwater was from Phoenix, Arizona, and Johnson, back when he was still a senator, would hang out with Barry and go golfing and who knows what else.
What else?
And so,
Sure,
yeah.
LBJ had his Roman Catholic concubine at the time, Madeline Duncan Brown, who wrote a tremendous book called Texas in the Morning. And if the listener has not read Texas in the Morning by Madeline Duncan Brown, you must get it. It is essential for your library. She
Okay.
tells the real LBJ what he was about. But go ahead.
Well, you know, I just ordered something from Amazon. No, it wasn't Amazon. It was I forgot the site, but it's called Rome Stoops to Conquer. Are you familiar with
Oh,
it?
yes, I have it. Rome Stoops to Conquer. I've been right here by E. Boyd Barrett. He was a Jesuit, and he also wrote The Jesuit Enigma and a few other. He wrote The Novice. He wrote several books, but he was a very brilliant man. He left the Jesuit order.
Well, so they say.
So they say. Yeah, he didn't expose the fourth vow in his books at all, but he says he left the order.
Okay, so
But he does talk about in Rome Stoops to Conquer, he does tell about the Jesuits' hatred for the Jews. And that's a I value that chapter most of all in that book. Go ahead.
okay, so even though the book came out in 1935, so over 90 years ago, it's still relevant to today. Because things have only got worse, since then.
That's right. That's exactly right. Here we go. I have it right in my favorite book counter bookshelf here. Rome Stoops to Conquer, but here we go. Oh, E. Boyd Barrett, Dr. E. Boyd Barrett, author of The Jesuit Enigma, The While Peter Slate, While Peter Sleeps, and The Magnificent Illusion. He also wrote The Novice, too, but Rome Stoops to Conquer. And in this book, he tells about Chapter 12, The Jesuits and the Jews, on page 176. And he tells you what they think about the Jews. And now you wonder why. So you see that Nicky Fuentes is controlled by the Jesuit order. Why he hates the Jews? He's just mouthing the same Jesuit doctrine that's been out for, 150 years. But go ahead.
Okay, so anyhow, getting back to law enforcement, and I know we covered some of this material last week, but do you mind if I repeat myself?
Oh, please go ahead, George, because I probably forgot what you said, so that helps cut new gray matter from you. Go ahead.
Okay, well, we've talked about how they're actively destroying Texas, and it seems that for a long time they seem to be doing the same thing in Minnesota, specifically the Twin Cities of St. Paul and Minneapolis.
And what do they have in common, George?
Well, actually, they're both in the central, well, Texas is mostly in the central time zone. There's like a little slip
I
about.
can't understand you. You're just going to have to speak up and be clearer and slower. So go ahead.
Okay, hang on, sorry. What does that do? Okay,
I don't know if you're turning away from your microphone or whatever you're doing. My microphone, I have a headset, so I keep my microphone right near my mouth. So if I move, it's not changing. And I recommend you do the same if you don't have some headsets.
okay, well, anyhow, I just had to shut the door. One of my neighbors is starting up his car. Okay, so we're talking about you're talking about the similarities between Minnesota and Texas. Well, Minnesota is exclusively in the central time zone, and Texas is mostly in the central time zone. There's a little sliver out west around El Paso. That's in the mountain time zone. But Are you talking about something a little bit more substantial?
Yeah, I'm
Like,
talking about the racial makeup and the religious makeup. That's all that matters. Go ahead.
okay, so historically Minnesota has been white, and you're
That's
talking
right. White,
Protestant.
what Protestant sect?
Well, usually Lutheran, that's the
Lutheran.
dominant faith
That's
there.
right. Because the Lutherans who came from Europe settled in an area that reminded them of Scandinavian Germany. So that's where they settled. So it was white and Lutheran. Very civil, high arts, tremendous business. Yeah. And Texas was the same way. It's historically Baptist and Presbyterian, probably some Lutherans, but it was white and Protestant and Baptist. And so those enclaves of that kind of people have to be neutralized if the Jesuits are going to fulfill their Counter-Reformation Council of Trent. It's just that simple. And to brainwash the people into saying that you're a conspiracy theorist, if you don't believe in conspiracy, the papal conspiracy, in fact, I have a book on it called The Papal Conspiracy. If you don't believe that, like Chinnicky said, the Vatican's in constant conspiracy against all the nations of the world. He mentions that in 50 Years of Rome. If you don't believe in conspiracy and you believe in just coincidence, you'll never get ahead of this. You'll never comprehend what's being done. Go ahead, George.
Okay, so as a quick reminder, so who runs the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul? Well, actually, we're talking about law enforcement. The chief of police in Minneapolis his name is Brian O'Hara. According to the New York Post, he's Roman Catholic. So he runs
Here's another
Brian.
one. Here's an, you know, my father was a member of the International Association of Chiefs of Police, and I wonder how many of those chiefs were Roman Catholic. That would be a very interesting fact today. How many of them are Roman Catholics? Go ahead, George.
And the chief of police in St. Paul, which is the capital of Minnesota, his name is A Axel Henry. He got his undergrad degree from St. Thomas University.
Now, what's his name?
Axel Henry. Henry is like Henry the Eighth.
Axel Henry. So is he white or black or
He's
what is he?
white.
He's white. Okay, so you got a white Roman Catholic running St. Paul. And how's the crime doing there, George? All these Catholics in these major cities, crime always just goes crazy. You put the Catholics and the blacks in the head of these major cities, and crime is everywhere. And the decent white people have to leave. And the decent black people have to leave too. Yeah, but go ahead.
And so the situation has been further exacerbated over the last, say, 30 years or so in specifically Minneapolis, because they've had a huge influx of people coming in from places like Somalia.
Yeah, they have a huge influx of black savages from Somalia, like 80,000 of them. Brought in here by Obama, that hateful racist and bigot against white people. And it's all the design of the Jesuit order to neutralize the white Protestants of Minneapolis. And they're going to do it with these black Muslim savages who hate us and who then manage to vote. How do they vote? And then they have this black savage Somalian woman in Congress who just acts savagely there as a disgrace. So, you know, what do you expect?
Indeed. So this is something we've discussed before.
They're turning
Well,
Minneapolis into Somalia. That's what they're going to do. And hopefully, those white people will wake up to realize they're being destroyed and they need to do something about it.
you know,
One
there's
of the things
certain.
they can do is they can support this broadcast, they can support this ministry. But that would be asking too much. Yeah, you're going to support a racist and a bigot and a sexist when he merely tells you the truth with facts that are irrefutable. So that's where these white people are going. They're going to be destroyed if they continue to do what they're doing, or join up with in the new right led by Fuentes, or Alex Jones, or Tucker Carlson. We can all join the new right, and or Hegseth, or what's this that other guy's name? Another fanatical Catholic back in Trump. What's his name? Yeah, his hair is always messed up and he always dresses in black.
Oh, Steve Bannon?
Steve Bannon, yeah.
Well, he's actually now a Buddhist.
Oh, he's a Buddhist. Yeah, okay.
As
Well,
is
Buddhists and
Jerry
Romanism
Brown.
are identical, and the Jesuits run Buddhism anyway. So if you read Footprints of the Jesuits by Thompson, he shows you how the Jesuits penetrated Buddhism and took it over.
Well, and
Completely.
of course, Jerry Brown, Moonbeam, he's now also a
Moonbeam,
Buddhist.
yeah.
And and of course, he I guess after Jerry Brown left office in the 1980s, he spent some time traveling the world. He went to India and hung out with Mother Teresa and the Far East, and he hooked up with some Jesuit priests in Japan. And I guess this priest said, "Oh, Jerry, you would be happier as a Buddhist." And I said, "Okay, Father."
Yeah, because we
I
control
know.
Buddhism too. That's right. They run that work salvation, satanic religion of Buddhism, and they just love it because they control the Eastern nations. If they control Buddhism, they can control the Dalai Lama, and they do. But by the way, I had a lady friend. She went to Georgetown University for me one time. She wanted to take a picture of Clinton with Timothy Healy. There was pictures hanging up in the president's office, and there's a black secretary in there. And she said, when I got there, Eric, lo and behold, there was a huge security detail there. And the one that they were guarding was the Dalai Lama. That the Dalai Lama went to Georgetown University before he went to see the president. So he's reporting to his masters, and that's the Pope of Buddhism, the Dalai Lama. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for this. So, I'm sorry.
Thank you for that irrelevant piece of. Okay, go ahead, George. I'll try not to say too much.
I'm sorry. I got sidetracked there. So, the and something I mentioned before is people like Nick Fuentes like to reinforce this whole canard that the Jews run everything. Now, we've spent probably the better part of the last hour talking about how they don't run the major police departments in the US. And I
Yeah,
said,
that's
well,
correct. Yeah.
that's an anomaly. And something
Yeah.
I have mentioned, I'm sorry, here is
Yeah,
it?
that's an anomaly. That's the why don't the Jews run all the police departments? Because my brother told me when he was a cop in California, he said the Archbishop of San Francisco ran the San Francisco PD. Of course. Why wouldn't he? Because the PD decides who they're going to arrest and who they're not going to arrest. And if the archbishop puts in the word, don't arrest so and so, they're not going to be arrested. So they're not going to be prosecuted. Prosecution begins with arrest. And hence, if you control the cops, the chief of police, you will control who gets prosecuted and tried and going off to jail. Go ahead.
Okay, so they also run the district attorney's office.
Of course, they have to decide who they're going to prosecute. And they're definitely not going to prosecute the archbishop for his crimes. So they'll prosecute, they won't prosecute the Jesuits involved in all their sexual crimes across the country. They won't prosecute them. So if you are in the Vatican orb and you're doing their bidding, you're on King's X for the most part, unless the Lord intervenes. And that's what happens when you have Catholics that run your country. And that's why in Europe, they forbid Roman Catholics to vote in Switzerland. And in England for some time, because they knew all they would do is just be agents for the priests to take over the country, the historic white Protestant nation they would take over.
Well, I think I mentioned this before, but have you seen the movie Gangs of New York?
Yes, I have. I think of that Italian Catholic actor. What's his name?
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, I think he's in that one. Yeah.
Well, yes, and Daniel Day-Lewis plays the bad guy, the antagonist,
I see.
Butcher Bill.
The bad
And
Protestant. He's the bad Protestant.
well, yes, this is supposed to be 1870s New York, and he's
But the
lamenting.
Protestants were well aware of the invasion of the Catholics from Europe, and they didn't want that.
Okay,
They
so.
tried to stop it. But go ahead, George.
Okay, so there's a line in the movie where he says, so I guess they're obviously in New York City and they're by the docks. And you say, every day these savages are landing here from Ireland, from
Yeah,
Italy, from
that's
Southern
exactly
Europe.
right. That's what they were. That's exactly right.
And so what
Drugs, fighting all the time. That's why they call, that's why the Protestants in that area, they call the Irish Catholics the sport mottled coons. That's what they called them. My dad told me that. So, a coon is a negative word for a black. So they just called the Irish a sport model of them, like the high-end black. They called them the sport model coons, and they refused to allow them to come to their hotels because they didn't want a bunch of crime and you name it going on there by these Irish Catholics. But go ahead.
Well, so Butcher Bill basically says he's talking to his entourage, and he says, "You know what? I see future voters here who are coming here to take over the country because they're going to do what the man in Rome with the funny hat tells them to do."
And that's exactly what Charles Czennecki said in his book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, among several other authors that I have that say the exact same thing. He got another book written by Emma McLaughlin, and he writes in the book titled Crime and Immorality in the Catholic Church. And he tells you wherever there's Catholics, it's much higher crime than there are with Protestants. And he's right, because the papacy creates a criminal population. Through facilitating sin, through the confessional, so all they got to do is say a few Hail Marys and Our Fathers, and they can go do it again.
Well, it's just like you need perpetual war. So, over the last century or so, the United States, the military government in D.C., controlled by the Jesuits through Georgetown, have created all of our enemies,
Oh yeah,
Bolshevik.
of course. Remember, it's called the Military District of Columbia since 1933. It's a military district. And so that's right. They have created all of our enemies for us by their foreign policy. That's exactly correct, George.
Okay,
Showing
so
that
when.
that government, that papal government, that emergency war powers military government in the Military District of Columbia is working for the papacy in its counter-reformation design to destroy every last vestige of Western civilization and the Reformation and bring us back to the Pope's socialist, communist, feudal dark ages.
Okay, so if you go back over the last century or so, like as I said, and people like Anthony Sutton in his book, Best Enemies Money Can Buy, basically says the United States and to a lesser extent Britain created the Bolsheviks. They installed them and kept them empowered for the better part of the 20th century.
What's the name of his book?
Best Enemies Money Can Buy.
I don't have that one of his.
Really? Well, it came out interestingly enough in 1984. And so when I say all of our enemies, I mean all everyone, the Nazis, the fascists, the communists, the anti-communists, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Hezbollah, you name it. Now,
And
we're talking about.
he said that government in District of Columbia financed all of that, brought it to power.
Well, yes. Well, specifically, he talked about the Bolsheviks.
Bolsheviks. Oh yeah, sure.
Okay, so, but the same concept works domestically when it comes to crime. I know this from various sources that MS-13, the Bloods, the Crips, the Hells Angels, the Mongrels, the One Percenters, the Slaves of Satan—all those are CIA or FBI creations, all of them.
And they run drugs to weaken the population, to get the population addicted to drugs. And then they keep the money from it, of course. I'm sure the CIA gets its cut, but no doubt.
Now,
I was told that the Hells Angels, when they were first started after World War II, was all primarily World War II veterans.
oh yes, and of course, despite their image, they are a paramilitary organization because they have a hierarchy, they have a chain
Sure.
of command, they have strict discipline and strict punishment. People get in trouble if they do not follow orders, up to including death.
That's correct. I mean, I know of a guy who put a Hell's Angel tattoo on his back, and some other angel came in with a grinder and ground it off. Ground it off. Yep.
Okay. So I know we've been on for almost an hour. I don't have the record. It's been close to an hour. So do you want to go to the bottom of the hour?
Yeah, let's go another 15, George.
Okay. So, by the way, if I could change the topic somewhat, I guess last Friday, the 27th, the movie Scream 7 came out. I'm not going to talk to you about the plot or anything like that. And,
Is that Screen 7, Screen?
well, no, Scream isn't like yell,
Oh,
as in yell.
Scream 7.
Yes, it's a horror movie. And the first one came out in 1996, so 30 years ago. So it's a relatively new franchise. You know, there are others that have been around longer, like Superman goes back to the 1930s, for example. However, I bring it up for a couple of reasons. One, it stars Neve Campbell, who's been in most of the films, and she's Jewish on her mom's side and Catholic on her dad's side. And there's an actor who
Well,
has a
that's the
cameo.
perfect combination. The Jesuits want that all the time. Get these Jewesses or marry into these Roman Catholics, and then they can be controlling, and their husband's not gonna be anti-Catholic. So these Jewesses have lots of power in this. I mean, the devil's design in using Jewish women to manipulate white Gentile men is brilliant.
Oh, okay. So David Kurt Arquette has a cameo. He's in the movie for like maybe a few minutes, if that. It's the same demographic. He has a Catholic father and a Jewish mother.
And who's this guy's name?
David Arquette, he's one of the actors who appears in the movie.
Named Arquette, is that what you said?
Yes.
How do you spell that, named?
It's French. Arquette, R-R-K, I guess
Oh,
they say.
Arquette, like Marquette.
Yes.
All right. Okay, go ahead.
So he has a Jewish mother and a Catholic father.
Oh. Okay, well that's par for the Jesuits and their Hollywood actors. I mean, they run Hollywood. It's their propaganda machine to have the population do what they want it to do. So it's a brilliant machine. Go ahead, George.
Okay, so, and then there's an actress who was in the original film, Scream 1, Drew Barrymore, who's the granddaughter of Lionel Barrymore, who was an actor, I guess, back in the 1920s and 30s. So Drew is full-blooded Catholic.
I see. Yeah, full-blooded Roman Catholic like Jane Fonda. Yeah. Her fanatical Catholic father, Henry Fonda. Her Catholic brother, Peter Fonda. So there's a classic example of a Catholic family having all of this influence in Hollywood run by the Jesuits.
Well, I wasn't going to bring this up, but I guess was it a couple weeks ago, Catherine Short, the daughter of actor Martin Short, apparently committed suicide. She was 42 years old.
Catherine
And
Short. How do you spell her
yes.
last name? Short.
Yes. Short.
Short.
Yes, not as in not tall.
I see. So she committed suicide at how old?
42.
22.
42.
Well, 42.
Yes.
Still a terrible waste.
Yeah, well, we're assuming she actually took her own life, but that I have no idea. Well, anyhow, her father, Martin Short, is Canadian. Yeah, he's 75, and he's a member of the Order of Canada and the Screen Actors Guild. And he also grew
Oh, the
up.
Socialist Communist Screen Actors Guild. Okay.
Yes. And he grew up Irish Roman Catholic.
Irish Roman Catholic. Okay. And he was a member of the Order of what?
Canada.
Canada. Which the Jesuits control with their other members, such as Justin Castro Trudeau and Justin Castro Trudeau. Order of Canada, the other Jesuit coadjutors running Canada. So they can bring in plenty of Sikhs and plenty of Arab Muslims and And plenty of blacks so we can further destroy the white people of Canada, because it's only about 30 million of them. Go ahead, George.
Well, Canada's population was about 40 million people, so about the same size as, say, California. But you're correct. They are destroying these historically white countries.
Yeah, so white Protestant Canada, they're destroying it. I don't know if they're doing the same thing with Roman Catholic Quebec, I would imagine. But yeah, it's part of the destruction of white Protestant nations, and nobody's there to say we don't want these people here. I mean, who do you think you are to have the right to say we don't like these people here? We're supposed to bring in everybody, right? But go ahead, George.
Well, and as far as I know, there are some Canadians who aren't happy about this, but for the most part, there's no movements that are organizing against this. I
Yeah,
could be
because
mistaken.
there's no leaders permitted to do that. The moment you start doing that, they tag you as some sort of a radical and don't want to hear what you have to say. They do not allow leaders, responsible leaders, to stand up and resist this forced race mixing, miscegenation, destruction down our throats. They will not allow that. And they have their press to demonize you if you do so.
Well, I know that in Europe they've had some pushback, such as you've had the rise of the ADF, the Alternative for Deutschland, the Alternative for Germany. And I guess in the last decade or so, you also have a similar party in France called the
But they're
Front
the
Pour.
new right, George. They're the new right. They're not responsible conservative nationalists. They're the new right. I was there in Bavaria, oh, 10, 5, 6 years ago, maybe more, when I was visiting Nico, who is an evangelist in Germany in that general vicinity. And we were in Munich. And there was a group of Germans there that were protesting all the Muslims there. And these fanatical Muslims, they surrounded him and they had to be protected by the Bavarian police. Otherwise, the Muslim savages would have killed them. So that's an argument in and of itself. So they didn't want him there. They wanted to out with the Muslims out of Deutschland, but ultimately that'll go to the new right. It won't be responsible Germans wanting to have those people out. It's going to be the radical new right in Germany like they're building here.
Okay, so if you say anything positive about the ADF in America or other Western countries, they say, "Oh, boy, you sound like you support, the not the, they sound like neo-Nazis."
Well, they're based on a legitimate grievance, and the legitimate grievance is all the Turks, all the Arab Muslims, all the blacks brought into Germany, bastardizing the white German race. When I was coming back from Germany years ago, there was a black family, a woman with her two big black sons, and we were on the airplane, and I was talking to her. And one thing led to another. She said, "Well, I taught voice and dance in Germany for 20 years." She said, "I brought my sons. I took them out of Chicago because I didn't want them to turn into gangbangers. And so I raised my sons in white Germany where we could have some culture." And that's what she told me. And I gave my seat to her or one of her sons because they couldn't all sit together. And the black waitress said to me, she said, "You did that for her?" I said, "Of course I would. Wouldn't you?" She said, "Just for that, you can have an extra drink on the house on the plane here." I said, "Well, I don't drink here." She was a very nice lady, very nice black lady in Germany. I found another black lady in Germany when we were evangelizing in Stuttgart, and she came up to me with her children. She says, "Are you Jehovah Witnesses?" And I said, "No, we're Baptists." And but she was very nice and very civil. You know why? Because they've driven the decent black people out of the major cities here and looking for refuge in white countries and white towns. That's why. And so I say that until you start punishing all this black crime, it's going to continue. But it's going to continue because they're radicalizing the whites into the new right. And that's the design. And that's what I've been against for 30 years. But it's growing. With your American Joseph Goebbels, Father Fuente. Go ahead, George. I'm sorry. I'm off on a tangent.
Well, and Goebbels was trained by the Jesuits.
Yeah, he was trained by Jesuits. He was from Rhineland. He was a Rhinelander. And minister of propaganda and blaming. proclaimed he had an original copy of Luther's On the Jews and Their Lies, which is a bold-faced lie. That book was never known until the late 1800s. There was no trace of it in Luther's day. That's all a lie. And I teach a course on it for 1500 bucks, and it's a 3-day course on how Luther never wrote on the Jews and their lies, and that's been attributed to Luther by the Jesuits because they couldn't destroy Luther in any other way other than this horrible, terrible maligning of his good name and these forgeries that they write. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I realize we only have a few minutes, but I actually had a question for you. So, Luther's ideas were not original. There are a number of people, men, who had similar convictions as he did, such as Jan Hus, roughly a century before L Luther. But,
What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Luther's convictions?
well, I mean, justification by faith alone, through
Oh,
grace
but
alone.
of course, that's always been a doctrine of the church about true body of Christ.
Okay, so you had men who had similar views as Luther, such as Huss and
Huss
Tyndale.
and Wycliffe, the morning star of the Reformation. Why, sure.
Okay, so you had to wonder why was, I mean, I suppose the Jesuits could have killed Luther, but he wasn't burned to the stake.
So
His death.
Luther died at the age of 63, I believe. And I have a source that said he was poisoned. I don't know if he was or not. The guy who wrote History of Romanism, John Dowling, didn't say he was poisoned, but he gives account of his dear death. As one of his friends said, Luther, do you still believe on Jesus Christ? And he said, oh yes, oh yes. They believe in him. And he is the last words of Luther in the History of Romanism. It's really wonderful. But Luther, the Jesuits called him a dirty, filthy pagan swine. Because he was the one with the doctrines that he preached that ultimately broke the spiritual and temporal power of the papacy in Europe. And so they had to demonize him as much as they could. And they finally succeeded with that filthy piece of trash on the Jews and their lies, which he never wrote. It wasn't his theology, and it was not his method of speaking or writing. And they managed to sell this and get them. Well, it's actually the Freemasons and the Lutheran Church that embraced it. And then everybody's now everybody you hear talks about Luther. He wrote all the Jews and their lies. And that's how they immediately defame him, which of course is not true.
Well, I guess we'll have to pick this up hopefully next Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll be on Tuesday, 11 o'clock. Jordan, George, we'll put it on my calendar and have my son Jordan send you the link, and we'll be good to go.
Okay, so well, I guess we can talk between now and then to shore up the time.
I'm sure we will. Sure, George. Yeah, so I'm glad what you covered tonight about all the Roman Catholic police chiefs, and when you have all these Roman Catholic police chiefs, whether they be black or white feminists or whatever, you're always going to have crime. Because they don't want to punish crime. They want it. They need it to drive the country into the new right.
Well, anyhow, though, so hopefully I'll remember this next week. Yeah, I'll just give you a teaser for what I plan to cover on Tuesday is one of the things we'll have to discuss is Reform Judaism.
Oh, yes, I would like that. I would
And
like
how
that.
Rome had its hand in its development.
No doubt it's an infidel religion. I had a friend before he was saved. His name was Barry. He lives in Israel and he was prepared to be a reformed rabbi. And thank God he was saved. He knows the Lord. And I visited him when I was in Israel many years ago. And he said to me when he was in their school there, I forget what they call it, yeshiva or whatever, he said, He said, we spent 15 minutes alone on the Messianic prophecies, and that's it. So it makes sense. All right, don't mean to get a bit ahead of you, George. So we'll deal with that next Tuesday. And do you want to give your closing contact information?
Okay, yes. If people would like to get a hold of me, please email me. If people have any questions, comments, concerns, critiques, if there is a topic you'd like me to cover or go over again, please email me at georgewidger1969 at gmail.com. That's GEORGE1969 GEWIDGER 1969 at gmail.com. And if they did not get my email, they can get it from you.
Amen. I'll be happy to supplant. Okay, thanks for being with us, George. And if you wish to support this podcast, send your check to RBT, P.O. Box 306, New Manstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. Or you can give a gift at Cash App at cash tag Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S. And I want to, and also you can just, you can send it through PayPal, which would be rbpbdonate@comcast.net. I don't like PayPal because it's the papacy pal. But if you want to do that, you can. But any gift is dearly appreciated, as it takes money to prepare for these things and dig out the books, read the books, and then get this information to you guys while you listeners, while you're busy driving truck and doing your particular work unto the Lord. So anyway, thank you for listening to the podcast today. It's March the 5th, 2026. I'll have a special podcast on the 9th in remembrance of the 93 years when the Jesuits have run this country with the Emergency War Powers Military Government. So until next Tuesday with George, may the Lord bless you as you do his will according to his word, the AV 1611 Reformation English Bible.